Episode 880, My Strength is My Story with Dr. Meg Meeker, Hero.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by.
Happy, happy day. It is one of my favorite days of the week. My Strength is My Story series is here, and we have an expert in the house. A doctor is in the house, Dr. Meg Meeker. Oh my goodness, you are going to be rocked. You really are. She is the country's leading authority on parenting, teens, and children's health. She is a pediatrician. And on top of all of that, she's a mom and a wife, and she's a sister in Christ. You are going to hear some amazing stories. We're going to go deep all across the boundaries of what it is to be a hero with her brand new book. You'll be surprised who we're chatting about. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, I told you, it is strength today, because when you've got a doctor in the house, oh, you better believe it, we're going to ask some tough questions. But I hope you're ready for some tough answers. Sometimes listening is the hardest part, because that means we now have to take the information, the knowledge that we've gathered, and we have to go out and implement it and to take aim. Action ignites motivation. I promise you, Dr. Meg Meeker is going to rock your world. Without further ado, let's welcome her in. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I'm so excited to have you here with us on our series, My Strength is My Story. Our extraordinary expert today is Dr. Meg Meeker, and she is here as a mother of four, wife of 36 years. She's a pediatrician. She's also the country's leading authority on parenting, teens, and children's health. She has served as a co-host of Dr. James Dobson's nationally syndicated daily radio program, Family Talk. She's also appeared on many national programs like Today, Fox and Friends, Dateline, NPR, Psychology Today, The Huffington Post, Oprah Radio. We could go on and on. She is a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics and certified by the American Board of Pediatrics. She serves on the advisory board of the Medical Institute. Dr. Meeker is an active part of the NFL's Fatherhood Initiative and is a regular speaker at Dave Ramsey's Smart Conferences. She's the best-selling author of seven now books, and her latest one is Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. Dr. Meeker, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be fun. And oh my goodness, it's like a full, you know, chapter just to read all of your knowledge that we have here today.
Well, you know, I've been around for a while. That's the thing. You know, I say, you know, I've been married 36 years, and it feels sometimes longer, and sometimes it feels like 10 years. But the same thing with my work. It just, you know, just sort of evolves as you get a little bit on in years. So
yes, well, I am delighted to have you here as our expert, and the series is called My Strength is My Story. And so I want to talk a little bit about you as we jump in. What keeps Dr. Meeker hopping these days?
Well, I do a lot of writing and speaking, and you know, my passion really, so I wrote a book for mothers and for fathers and stuff, but my passion is really speaking on behalf of kids. I just love kids. But I really learned very early on that the best thing that I could do for kids was help their parents. If I could help their parents be happy, take a big deep breath and go, okay, I got this, and keep encouraging them, that I didn't have to worry about the kids. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the work that I do is really just talking about who parents are to their kids, because I think that mothers and fathers, you know, we're told what to do and how to do things, but we need to know who we are from behind our kids' eyes. Mm-hmm. And how our kids see us and what our kids need from us and want, because we'll parent so much simpler, and it's not necessarily going to be easier, but we're going to feel a lot better about what we're doing. So really speaking out and helping kids is what keeps my juices going.
Well, and you've been a pediatrician now, like, forever.
Yeah, thank you. 100 years. No, over 30 years now, and I can't believe it. So you know, and a lot has evolved in my life and my work because we have four kids. They're grown now. Our youngest is 25. We have four grandkids. And as I was working, and our kids are little, a lot of what I speak about was shaped through my experience as a mom and what I was concerned about with my kids. So I really come by it very, very honestly. And I try in my writing to be very honest about, you know, places I went off, mistakes I made, but I really get how tough parenting can be for women, mm-hmm. and a bit for men too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you see them, they come in and not only do they have their well checkups with you, but they bring in their children when they're not feeling great. They go through all stages of life with you, Dr. Meeker.
Everything. And the conversations that we get to have are such an extraordinary privilege because when you close those doors, and all my patients know everything's confidential. And it's funny because I practice with my husband, and now we have six other physicians. But we don't even share with each other unless we have to, what's going on with our patients. So it's really a privilege to get to hear somebody's hurts and fears and worries and pains, mm-hmm. and to sort of be in that space with them and try to help them. And then also give them a lot of hope and encouragement because mothers, I found in general, are doing such a much better job than they would ever give themselves credit for. And I want to encourage dads as well because we get some encouragement because we talk. You know, women are good about going to a best friend or some friends and saying, help me, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Or your pediatrician, or I would engage mothers. But a lot of dads don't do that, so they're kind of standalone. So,
yes, and your brand-new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. How did this book come about? I mean, seriously, why fathers?
Yeah, yeah. Go figure. And that I was invited to work with the NFL. Go figure. I mean, I'm a middle-aged white grandmother. And I said to them, no, I'm not the person you want. You know, you need a man, a young man, to talk to men about how to be better parents. They said, no, we want you, first of all, because of your age, and that a lot of these men relate better to their mothers because maybe they didn't have dads. Mm-hmm. So they'll listen to a middle-aged woman more than, you know, a younger man. But I came about the work that I'm doing, really, I didn't ask for it. It really just kind of landed in my lap. And this is what happened. You know, I grew up, I was in college, in all women's college in the 1970s. So we were chargers. I mean, we were trained to go, and that's what we did. And I sort of brought that mentality into my parenting, which I think a lot of women do was, you know, we kind of communicate to our husbands or exes or whatever. When it comes to the kids, I got this. I got it. You know, I get them. I understand them. I know what to do. I know what they need to eat. I got the breast milk. I got the car seat. I've got all the conversations. What I tended to do was sort of push my husband out of the way. But I found that, you know, he was doing a pretty good job with our girls. And I started writing about what I was noticing in him and how he was helping our daughters and how he was sort of listening better than I would because I was always too worried about changing and fixing and convincing and that kind of a thing. So I wrote a book called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, really based on my relationship with my dad and my husband's relationship with our kids. And you can't imagine the nerve it touched in the country in men. They wrote me back saying, thank you for saying something nice about us. Mm-hmm. And I really felt sad. And I thought, really? So then I started to look into this whole dad stuff and groups everywhere were asking me to talk about dads. And I realized dads aren't getting much encouragement. As a matter of fact, if you just turn on the TV and I started paying attention to this and look at how dads are portrayed, mm-hmm. they're idiots.
Yeah.
And it bothers me because I see kids in my practice with these really well-educated, very high power CEO dads. And their 7-year-old are saying, shut up, or whatever. And dad's going, okay. And I thought, you know, so anyway, this was all really impacting families that I was seeing. And I said, somebody needs to really help our dads be better and greater in their role as dads. Mm-hmm. And I was really kind of convicted that I had a big part to play in that, not just as a pediatrician, to communicate to fathers, hey, you know what? Your kid has two parents, so we got to work together here. But also, as a mom, I was sort of undermining my husband as my kids are growing in a lot of ways. I didn't mean to. I just did it. So this is really about, okay, we know we need our dads really engaged. We've got a father crisis on a lot of levels in the country. Dads feel very, very insecure, and many are just totally out of the home. It's hurting kids. It's hurting women. It's hurting all of us. So we got to just sort of say, we got to do something positive for our dads here. And that's what I'm really intending to do with Hero.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, I read the book and I absolutely love it. You give some very, you give advice, but I want to clarify, it's just not any advice. It's not like this is some scientific that you need a dictionary to read it. It's practical advice that you can implement right now today. And whether you're a woman or whether you're a man, you need to pick this book up, you need to read it, and then you need to gift it, because it truly will give you some interesting insights. So if you're the wife, I mean, this is what I got from it, Dr. Meeker. Reading this, I was like, oh my gosh, I see my husband in this situation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It wasn't looking at how my husband was reacting or you know, working with my children. It was like, oh, how am I responding to him and helping him to be the better dad, which he's trying. But if I could help him, he's going to be able to do his job even better.
Well, here's the truth that a lot of women, you know, who are married and have husbands in the home and they're parenting children, we have incredible power in these men's lives. Mm-hmm. We think we don't, we say we don't, but the truth is we do. Because even if you've got just a decent marriage, there's a lot of interdependence, and that guy really wants you and needs you. And so there's so much that we can do as mothers with that power to either help dads be better or dads mm-hmm. be worse. And I think we need to choose to sort of help it, them be better, because we have a huge role to play. And it's not, you know, it is not about, you know, oh, back off into the corner and just sort of be the little wifey and just go away. No, 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 no. This is about a strong woman coming and saying, you know what, honey, you can do this. So I'm going to give you the opportunities to do it. And I'm not going to hog the whole parenting thing, which is exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. We have three daughters. And I would hear my husband, this is what I would do. Okay. You want to get honest here. I would complain about everything he was doing wrong. You never engage. You never home on time. You work too much, yada, yada, yada. Don't you understand? I work too. You got to help out. This is a partnership. Okay. We've all done that. And then he'd say, okay, because to a man, if there's a problem, just tell me what to do and I'll try it. Don't give me all the details. Just say, please do this. And so, which anyway, so then I would complain. He'd go, okay. And I remember one day clearly, our daughters were teenagers. I heard him talking to one or two of them in the other room. And I said in my mind, no, 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 that's not how you talk to teenage girls. And in I swept, just like a hawk, into the conversation. And everything about my body language and my voice said, no, 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 no. You're just not doing, I need to help you here. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? Maybe he's doing this better than I could do it. Mm-hmm. Or even if he wasn't doing it better, make room for him. Don't complain he's not doing it well. And then when he does it, you correct him. Mm-hmm. So we do that because we believe in ourselves really a lot. And we know what we can do. But we've got to be careful not to mow over people. And we've got to realize that, and if we do, it's freedom to realize that, you know, two parents can be really better than one. And guess what? That frees us up to just not have to take all the burdens on ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love it, what you said about mowing them down, because, you know, us women, we like control.
Oh, and there's nothing more controlling than a loving mother, uh-huh, really, uh-huh. Because we have to get it right. We have to protect our children. We have to make the right decisions about breastfeeding and car seats and immunizations and food and everything. And we feel that if we don't, we don't want to mess up because we don't want to mess our kids up. But we've really got to come to a place to realize it's okay for us to back off a little mm-hmm. and give somebody else control, even if they make mistakes. Because it just works better for everybody. But it's tough. It's a big emotional struggle for mothers.
It is.
It's tough for me.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it is for all mothers. But I think, too, Dr. Meeker, which I appreciate you taking your time to come and speak and have this coffee chat with me, because we don't talk about this. We gripe about this.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We go to our girlfriends and we say, you won't believe what my husband said, what he did. And we tell those stories. I mean, I know you can relate.
Oh, I can tell you hundreds. And they come out of our lips and we don't even think about it.
Yes.
But see, we're kind of encouraged to, too, because there's been, you know, feminism really took off in the late 60s, early 70s. So I was smack in the middle of it. And it was all about empowering women, and a lot of it was really, really great. But the problem is we communicated to others, first and foremost, the men in our life and our husbands, that we don't really need you. It's nice having you. We love you. We want you. But we don't really need you. I mean, we can earn money. We can cook really well. We can do our kids. But life doesn't work well for us or for them and or for our kids when we maintain that posture. And it took me a long time to realize that. But I'm telling you, life is so much easier when you just surrender some territory and some power.
Amen to that. And bringing that amen in, you have a faith within you. You practice it. And I want to bring God into the picture, because when you say we're not kind of made to work that way, God didn't create man and woman to interact separately, but yet to be as one.
Yeah. And that interdependence. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you brought that up. But that's a non-American word. Autonomy is the word of the day. And teaching people that you don't need to be male, you don't need to be female. I see this in the kids in my practice who are struggling, even if they have faith or don't have faith, this sort of shearing off of your identity, mm-hmm. and being sort of nothing. Well, we've sort of bought into this, and we can't do that, because the truth of the matter is we do depend, and we do need, and we do need God, and we do need our husbands, and we need the complementing of that in our relationships. But one of the things I found is very difficult for women, whether they have a faith or whether they don't, and you're right, I do have a strong faith and a great love for God, is that a lot of women have been so wounded by men in their past that when it comes to having a deeper relationship, a trusting relationship with their husband or with God, they back off very fast. Mm-hmm. So they will do marriage and they will do relationship and they will nod to, but when it really comes down to that deep intimacy, because they've been deeply wounded. And I see a lot of women like that. And I always say to men, if your wife is struggling with you and drawing close to you and letting you in, she probably has a dad problem, or at least an adult male, a child male relationship problem. She's deeply wounded and you're him. She doesn't know it. And the same is true with God. You know, a lot of women don't want anything to do with God, the Father. They want Jesus because they see him as a contemporary. He's an adult. I'm an adult. Okay, the Holy Spirit, I can do that. But when it comes to Father, mm-hmm. So this is a big deal, and women don't talk about it, but we need to talk about it, because it's our woundedness that is really crushing a lot of the issues in our families.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see, Dr. Meeker, in our country right now, here, of course, in the U.S., we're heard all over the world, but we're speaking from the United States. Where do you see our family breakdown in our family unit here in the U.S.?
Well, it starts, you know, men and women, mm-hmm. and I dissolution of that relationship, yes. And no one has really taught us how to navigate that relationship in a really healthy way. What we have taught is women don't put up with nonsense. And I see this all the time in all ethnicities and in all faith backgrounds. No matter what, don't put up with it. You deserve better. Oh, right. But there are limits to that. Same is true with men. So I think once you start to break that down and you start to say, mom, woman, you have a right to this, man, you have a right to this, that's where that autonomy comes in, and that dependence becomes a nasty word. Mm-hmm. And then it just has the ripple effect. Well, why we don't need a husband or we don't need a wife, You know, we know we don't need our children. We enjoy our children, though our children need us. We don't really need God. We don't really need other people. And that's where that individualism and that autonomy comes in, which may feel good on the surface, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work for family. It doesn't work for neighborhood. It doesn't work for a city or a state or country. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love that we're dealing with very serious heart issues here, because this is extremely important to the survival of a healthy nation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely, because we are raising up the next generation.
Yes.
They are being impacted by the moms and especially the dads, which you call hero in your brand new book, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. While we're talking about the hero, it was interesting. I love it. There's 10 chapters in your book, and I would love to go through every single one of them, but we'd be here for a few hours. So we're not going to do that, because everybody's going to want to pick up their own copy and gift it too, especially maybe your grandma even, and you're listening. Give it to your child. Maybe you've got a graduation, someone graduating from college. What an amazing gift this would be to someone who is wanting to begin and start their own family. I would say it would be a great book, just my 2 cents worth. But in your book, you have 10 chapters. And one of those 10 chapters, you talk about God is called Father, and so are you. I want you to talk a little bit about that, because that is such a strong word. And we were talking about that earlier, that, you know, this whole thing of I can work with Jesus because he's kind of like on my same, wavelength. He's one of me. He's an equal. But God, not so much.
Well, and in reality, of course, that's a ruse. Jesus is nowhere near an equal. But that's where we go with our thinking.
Yes.
I think the fact that God chose men to share a name with him is incredible. And I don't think we really understand the ramifications of that, but he did. Now, we know that God is neither male nor female. He's bigger than we can ever comprehend. He's God. He is incomprehensible. But he chose to give himself the name Father. So that means in that name is all good. Mm-hmm. And in that name is trustworthy, dependable, protector, lover, caregiver, intimacy. And that's what he transfers onto human fathers. Now, a lot of us women go, well, wait a minute, what about me? Well, first of all, it's not about us all the time. Because God does have female character qualities, or qualities that we would call female.
Yes.
Female-like. Okay.
Right.
But God has chosen to require of men, ask of men, hope of men, that they will be the open door for their children to his love. Mm-hmm. So if a father is just does a good enough job as his children are growing up, and he gets the big stuff right, he communicates he loves the kids, he communicates he wants their company, he's going to protect them, he's going to be the man for them and watch over them, and they learn to trust him, how much more easily then will they turn and trust God the Father? So he's got a really heavy burden on his shoulders, but fortunately, the burden is lighter because God gifted him with it, and he gifted it and said, but I can help you do this, so don't worry about that. So the role of that father, and I think we as women need to really respect that, not in a way that makes us seem less than, because mothers and fathers are equal in God's eyes as far as influence in our children's lives, but we have very different roles, and we've got to honor that God wants us to help fathers become that to their children. And it shouldn't be something that's intimidating, though it feels that way. It's something that's very doable, because even though God shares that name, God also gave dads all of the wiring they need to live that out. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's pretty spectacular. And we don't think about it that way, Dr. Meeker.
We don't. It's funny. I don't think of my husband as a hero. And I know that men will read the book and go, okay, hero. I never landed a plane with one wing, and I never saved anybody from freezing cold water and they were drowning. I'm not a hero. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not talking about how you see yourself. I'm talking about how your kids see you. Your kids, because they're a child, looking up to this man who is strong and powerful and authoritative and has a deep voice and he's taller than them and he can save the whole world and always make life good for them. in that child's eyes, you are a hero. So, and think back, you know, you and I were little girls once, and didn't you want your dad to be the best hero ever anywhere? And in many ways, my dad was my hero because my relationship with him was child to adult. My relationship with my husband is adult to adult. But as a child to an adult, you look up, you don't look across at. Yeah. And so hero is really what your child sees you as. So now you just keep need to walk that out, and it's very doable for any man.
Mm-hmm. How would you define hero, Dr. Meeker, for those who are going, well, you know, so I'm not the one who saved someone from the, you know, drowning. What defines hero?
Yeah. And again, I talk about it from a child's perspective, because a hero from a child's perspective is very different than a father would look at. But your child, dad, if you're listening to you, or your the father of your children, mom, if you're listening, in your child's eyes, your child, whether he's 5 or 15 or 45, looks up to that man and sees authority and a knowledge and a power that mom doesn't have. Now, that's not a slight to mothers. We are the stability. We are what keep in their minds. We are the person who can never leave, who have to love them because we are mom. You know, if mom doesn't love you in your life from a child's perspective, why live? Because mom has to love you. But in their eyes, dad doesn't. This is, again, the child's thinking, dad doesn't need to love me. So man, if my dad gives me attention or a kiss on the cheek or says I did well, I can do and be anything. So that's what the child is looking for and sees in dad. And again, it's equal influence, if you will, but it's very different from mom. And you knew this a little kid. If your dad said, don't you dare, I don't know about your dad, but if he said, don't you dare, and your mom said, don't you dare, you hardly heard your mother.
Yeah.
Right? Not that mom didn't have authority and influence. Of course she did. As a matter of fact, I did a whole book on fathers and on sons and mothers, and many men said that their buddies in war, as they were dying, would cry out for their mom. Mm-hmm. Not for their dad, but for their mom. Quick illustration. I talked to a man yesterday, who's CEO of a big company. His daughter was in a car accident, 16 years old, flipped her car. It wasn't her fault. She went unconscious. Somehow she got her cell phone and called her dad, though he doesn't know how. And dad immediately went there. He was the first on the scene, despondent, seeing his daughter bleeding, hanging upside down. And he just held her. He couldn't get her out of the car, and he felt awful. But the police finally got there and they got her taken care of. And she said to dad, her dad, he said, the most amazing thing my 16-year-old daughter said to me, dad, I knew you would always be there for me. She didn't call her mom.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why she called her dad, because she needed dad to get her out of the car wreck. Mm-hmm. We all crave that, and our children do. And that's what men need to know.
They do need to know that, because our men in our lives are precious and we don't give them enough credit. I mean, we're just coming off during this recording now of Mother's Day. Soon, this is going to be Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to those who are listening and to your families. But we need to lift up our fathers. We need to build them up. We need to encourage them. And I think as moms, we do tend to take too much reign and too much control, and we want to be the hero. But in our own right, we are. But dads,
exactly.
You know, it's different.
It's different. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, I know to my daughters, I'm a hero in some sense, but their dad is a hero in a bigger sense. And again, it's very important to understand it's not better or worse. It just is. It's the way God designed it. It's the complementing of the female and the male. You know, and I see many teenage boys out there who are craving dad attention. And when you have a 16, 17-year-old boy who is a man craving dad attention and not getting it, watch out. Watch out, mom. I've seen boys be physically abusive to their mothers who they say they love, but they work out their angst on their mother. And when you're 200 pounds and your mom is, you know, 140 pounds, your anger comes out. You do things you don't want. But they would not do that with a father because they're physically afraid. And that's very important. Girls don't have this with men, with their dads. You know, girls don't need, you don't need men to man to butt heads. It's like little testosterone needs to butt heads with big testosterone to know, because a teenage boy needs to know there's somebody bigger and stronger who has a little more control so he can be safe and not afraid of himself. Mother doesn't give that to sons, even though we love our sons like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Very good point, Dr. Meeker. And on that point, in your book, you talk about how, you know, you don't have to always get it right. Because I think sometimes fathers, some of them haven't had good role models. They don't, you know, even the men that have been in their lives, they weren't necessarily the perfect role model. So for the dads and the moms who are listening going, gosh, where in the world do I begin? How do I begin? Because I don't know that I'm even doing it right.
Oh, it's a great question, because there's so many men out there who feel like, I never knew what it was. I worked with the NFL, and I was brought in, and I said, you got the wrong person here, because I'm a middle-aged white grandmother. I mean, come on. But what I realized is the reason they wanted me is because I was about the age of many of their mothers. And I said, thank you very much. But anyway, but here's the thing. So these are wounded men who go into parenting as a wounded man who doesn't know how to be a good dad. Maybe your husband's father was an alcoholic. Maybe he abandoned the family, whoever, whatever. But here's the cool thing. He still has all the wiring. It's never just had, it's, no one's ever put electricity to it. So that's your job, wife. That's your job, is to come alongside of him and not criticize him for what he's doing wrong, but say, you can do this. You got this. You got this. And here's how I know. And if you really don't want to say it just anecdotally, point to something in my book and say, here's how we know you can do this, you know? So that's why I really wanted that there. But a lot of men can do a great job. First, they need to reconcile their father wounds, and they need to say, I hurt deeply as a man because my father did this or whatever. And so they've got to be able to forgive and release that. And then they turn to their children. And they say, okay, how has God loved me well? This is why faith is so important. If that man has a relationship with God, they say, what has God given me as a man that feels really good? Turn and give that to your children. And that's why I talk about those three questions in there. How do you feel about me? What do you believe about me? It's so simple, but great parenting is simple. It's just hard simple. So any man can get there. And there are a lot of women who've been married to very wounded men. And the way you deal with a wounded man, even if your ex-husband is in prison, and I mean this sincerely, your job is to help your child have the best relationship with that man he can, because that is his father. And you can say it's not important, but that child knows it is. And if you don't honor your child's feelings, you're not honoring your child. So you have to really help encourage your child to have the best relationship, even if it's just phone conversations. But to encourage your husband, you can do this. It takes time. But the first and most important step is starting with recognizing that you're not your dad, but you have to deal with your dad wounds. Otherwise, you're going to bring them right into a relationship with your kids, and they're just going to cycle and cycle. I've seen many, many men break it, and I'm so encouraged to see that.
Mm-hmm. And it can be done, definitely. I've seen it even in my own relationships and my life experiences with my own family, with my friends and loved ones. So there is hope. And for those of you who are wanting to carry the hope and read more about it, you want to pick up Dr. Meg Meeker's brand new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. You will be touched by it. There's a part in here that I was like rooting on, going, oh, come on, it's got to be a happy ending. And then there was one that just, I mean, some that brought me to tears. I love your heart in this, Dr. Meeker. I really, really do. I can tell this wasn't just a book that you kind of just threw together.
No. And really, it's not a book. It's a mission for me. I believe it's God's mission. I really want to start to ignite some serious conversations about the importance of fathers, because no one's having them. You look at even the research done on mothers and fathers, it's about 7-1. There's so much on mothers and who they are, and what they need to do, and how they impact the kids. There's hardly anything on dads, and that's very sad. That's very telling, because that's where our culture is. We're really pushing our fathers to orbit our homes, if you will. We've got to stop it because our children and the next generation are going to suffer terribly because we all know in our hearts as adults that we carry our fathers to the grave. Every woman does. We either, if we had a great dad, we want more time with him. And if we had a bad relationship with our dad, we want more healing. And we also know there are men out there who are adult men who are still trying to prove to their fathers that they can be something or they made it or they were good enough, even if their father's dead. That's the power of fathers, and nobody is addressing it. And we have to, and we can't be threatened by it because it's freedom. It's pure freedom when we walk into it and say, I'm going to help this man in my child's life be the best that he can be. And the blessings that come back to you as a wife are incredible. It's just incredible. That's what I've seen in my own life, and I see it in many, many women's lives.
Mm-hmm. And it strengthens that bond between the wife and the husband.
Oh, here's what happens. It helps your marriage mm-hmm. or your relationship with your ex. It helps the father's relationship with the kids, and it helps your relationship with the kids, because when a child sees a mother speaking well of a man, whether that man deserves it or not, that child wants to draw near to mom and go, wow, mom, you see what I don't see. The worst thing you can do as a mother for your relationship with your kids is to criticize their dad. I see this all the time in divorced couples. Because they say, we're going to put the kids first and yada, yada. And in order to keep the child healthy, I, as the mother, need to keep him away from this rotten jerk I just divorced. No, that's the worst thing you can do, because that child, it will always stay connected to that dad by a golden thread and to you by a golden thread. But when you start to help them with that relationship, they open up to you, they talk to you, they admire you, and they go, Mom, you know he drinks terribly. How can you say these things about dad? They want to hear more. Mm-hmm. So that's really helping your kids into everybody's relationship is strengthened.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Our bond begins to break down. I mean, you have a dad who hasn't had a role model, so they're wounded, and now they're raising children, and then they're raising children. You get this whole, you know, snowball effect, and it's chaos.
It's chaos, and it's chaos in marriages. Mm-hmm. So you've got men who were wounded, maybe by distant fathers, and then you've got women who may be wounded. We're all wounded. And then they come together and don't acknowledge the wounds because dad really wasn't that important anyway, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's all about mother. And then you just get it passed on, and it gets more and more complicated. And then you get this autonomy thing going. So hey, you have all these individuals living in a home who desperately need something from one another, but we don't admit it. So we just, everything just sort of falls apart. So it's very, very sad. But I have great hope for families because this message is true. And when you bring truth to people, it hits and they get it and they go. And so that's really why I'm hopeful. It's really not just a book. Somebody, I believe, had to come out and say, we need to help dads and quit criticizing them and quit bellyaching about the fact that we have a fatherless issue in our country.
That's right. Yeah, we need to get on that bandwagon and get on it fast because it's just going to continue to grow. And I think if moms were really to ask themselves, do you really want men out of the picture? Mm-hmm. I don't think we want that answer, honestly, to be yes.
No.
You know, well, maybe when we're mad at him, but not,
course.
You know.
But if you take all men out of the picture, we don't have children.
Right.
So we don't. I mean, that's just reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's two gay women, the reality is you need a man in there to have a child. That God made that way. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get past this fact that our anger and animosity or hurt feelings have to override everything we do and control everything we do. They don't. Mm-hmm. It should never trump doing what's right. And what is right is to help men. It's not right, as we said earlier, just sort of steamroll and go, sorry, you're a jerk. I can't stand this. I'm not going to put up with it. God would never ask me to put up with this. Out you go. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Yeah. We need that respect back.
We do. We want the respect from husbands. Mm-hmm. We want respect from men, and we have demanded it. And we now need to turn and say, okay, out of our strength, we are going to respect others, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Out of his strength as God, he could sacrifice the ultimate sacrifice, which was himself. So we, and particularly if we have a faith in God, a strong faith, we have an obligation to sacrifice for our children and husbands by being better to them. Mm-hmm. And it works. It just works. I mean, God's got it right.
Mm-hmm. He does have it right. And we need to be praying for our dads, too. You know, we need to be lifting them up, because we talk about all the time praying for our children.
Yeah.
But how many times do we go to our knees and pray for our dads?
We don't. Yeah. You know, it reminded me, if I have time to just tell a 2-minute story.
Sure.
I've recently been struggling with my husband because we're empty nesters. We have grandkids. He's a workaholic. He just loves it. We work together, but I work less than he does in our office. He also is an exerciser. Bottom line, in recent months, I've been very, very, very lonely because he's just off and doing a lot. Mm-hmm. Because the kids aren't here. He doesn't have to be around, whatever. And I said to him, I'm just very lonely, and I don't like living so separate. I'm on the road speaking, you're working. What are we going to do? And he kind of looked at me with a little bit of a blank stare, which was kind of disconcerting. Okay, now I really got my work cut out for me. So, but my default was to sort of bullying him into wanting him to be with me more. And I thought, well, yeah, just wrote a book. You know that's not going to work. So figure out a different way. So what I did is I said, would you go to this, Ravi Zacharias this week, would you go to this event with me? He said, well, I really have to train for my marathon in 2 weeks. I said, I know, but couldn't you postpone it? Bottom line is, when I began to thank him for doing things with me, and it's not disingenuous, and it's not manipulative,
right?
You know, any more than pounding on some guy about wanting to be with you more. When you just start to say, you know, I want you, mm-hmm. and I need you, in this way, and thank you for doing it, even if it's a tiny little thing.
Yes.
Men respond to that because they go, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that for my child. I can do that for you. I can, but just constantly beating on them, saying, you know, I deserve a husband after 36 years who wants to take me on a trip for my 35th anniversary, not somebody who forgot the day came.
Right.
He still doesn't know how long we've been married. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I live what I'm writing about, and it's hard, and it's not intuitive. Mm-hmm. It's not my default. My default isn't just to be hurt in my hurt feelings and get nicer. My default in my hurt feelings is to really let the hammer down, because I know how to do that pretty well. But I got to back off and say, no, this works better, so do that. And it's truthful, and it's being truthful. It's not being, you know, syrupy or disingenuous. It's very truthful. And so what I'm writing about, it really does help the family when we take a different approach to the husbands and fathers in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it definitely does. I know I have screwed up more than my fair share, too. And it's amazing when you sit there and you tell them that you appreciate them and what they do matters, and that you're proud of them. That doesn't mean that we're mothering them, but we are, like you said, it's an adult to an adult. And we need to lift up and build up our husbands so they can be even better fathers. And then in turn, guess what? They're going to be better husbands.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that a lot of women in the Christian church faith here have come to hear something like that, and they sort of have this sour taste in their mouth. I don't want to be subservient. I don't want to be the slave. I don't want my husband to be too authoritarian and too bossy. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living in truth and honesty and using your power, not giving it up. Because what Jesus did is he used his power to its ultimate end, where he sacrificed his life. So if he can use that, and while he looked so weak, he was really, it was the epitome of his power. I can't imagine how much power it takes to keep yourself stuck on a cross. But if he could do that for a bigger good, we can do this and encourage good men using our power, not diminishing it. And I think that's really important, because a lot of Christian women go, well, then I'm not supposed to balance my checkbook, or I'm not supposed to this. Yeah. No, it has nothing to do with that. You're not off the hook for a lot of work. I'm talking about you being strong enough to come under and encourage another who desperately needs it. And who, by the way, you desperately want a better relationship with because you married him and had children with him in the first place. So honor that. Yes. And if you want better back, start there. Don't keep doing what you're doing.
You keep telling all about it, Dr. Meeker, in her brand new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. You will want to pick up your own copy. It is hot off the press. I mean, literally, I just got it the day of the recording. It just got delivered today. And I was kind of spoiled because she sent me a early copy so I could read it prior to our interview. But let me ask you this. So we've talked about dad being a hero. From a child's perspective, why are dads important?
Oh, the moment a child is born, a child has many needs, but they're very primal needs, basic needs. I need to trust that you will feed me so I stay alive. I need to have you hug me so I know that I am seen and cared for and that I have value as a person. And a child needs the father to meet some of those needs and the mother to meet some of those needs. So right from the get-go, a child knows there are two. A child knows in their DNA that there is mother and that there is father. And I even see, it's so fascinating, even young kids, 4, 6, 8 months old, respond differently when dad picks them up versus when mom picks them up. They know the difference. We smell different. We feel different. We sound different. And so kids understand, okay, these are the two people who will be meeting my needs and let me know that I am valuable, because if I didn't have them there, I would die, literally. And that gets ingrained from the first day they're born, and that never, ever, ever leaves a child. So we can deny one and say a child doesn't have a need for dad or doesn't have a need for mom. But we all know we're playing a mind game, a very cruel one, in fact, because the child knows. And if a child hears, you don't need your dad, you don't need your dad, or you don't need your mom, they start to go, well, then what's wrong with me? I'm crazy, because, you know, they see N-words. So, you know, a child knows right from the get-go that dad with a deep voice and the harsh face and the hairy hands is the one who will keep him safe, who will fight off the battles, who will make life go on. And mom is the one who will always be stuck to him to love and nurture and care for. And what I encourage mothers to do is to allow fathers right from the get-go to bond well with babies. And think about this, how our culture works. You have a baby, you're in the hospital, the nurse comes in the next day and tells you how to breastfeed only, round the clock, every 2 hours, and do it for a full year at least. What's the message to a dad there? You don't need me. It's very subtle, but it isn't so subtle. That's just the beginning. You know, that's just the beginning. And there are some pediatricians who say, okay, dad should even sleep in a different room so that mom and baby can attach and bond really well. And, you know, the skin-to-skin thing, which is wonderful, but dads need to be in it too. What I say to my patients is, if you want to breastfeed, wonderful, pump, and I want dad to be giving at least 2 bottles out of 8 every cycle, because that your baby needs to bond to dad too. Guess what? Mom gets more sleep. Mom's happier. Mom doesn't feel, I have to be my baby's everything. It wins for everybody.
Yes.
But our culture doesn't teach us that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten away from some of the strong foundational ways of living and having a strong family.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's now we talk about our homes being built on, you know, you don't want to have a home built on a cracked foundation. You wouldn't build a brand new $1 million home on a foundation that's cracked. Well, same thing with the family.
But we're all doing it.
We are.
Because the foundation is God, mm-hmm. mom and dad, and then the children. Well, if you're not teaching mom and dad who they really are in truth, and you're letting them, you're leading them to believe a lie that, for at least for the first few years, it's all about mom. Mm-hmm. In many, many, many ways, we have a whole show on that. Then dad sort of starts to orbit the home, and the kids go, oh, "Okay, I get how this is. Dad doesn't count, so I'll talk to him like he does." Just goes on and on. We're building million-dollar homes on a cracked foundation. That's a beautiful illustration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know, it's almost disheartening, Dr. Meeker, that people would just kind of throw this, like, it doesn't matter, it's just rubbish, you know? Yeah. What would you say, because we'll probably have a few of those listeners, or to get passed around, which I kind of like sometimes a little controversy because...
Oh, I love controversy.
Exactly. Yeah. Build it up a little bit. But what would you say to those who say, oh, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't, you know, that man does not need to be. You don't know what he's done in my child's life. You don't know what he's done with me. And the list goes on and on. What would you say to that person?
I would say you don't understand the value of human life. And if you're willing to throw one person away, why not throw you away? I mean, because the truth is, what gives you more value than that awful man? Is it because he drank too much or he hit you? So, what he did was horrible and you didn't deserve it because you have value. But you have done some awful things too. So, you know, to other people, because none of us are perfect. So if you have value, even though you've done some rotten things, he must have value because he's done rotten things. So your argument isn't even logical. Anybody who does that, it's about the significance of human life. And the person who's willing to say, he's horrible, he should be out, he should be in jail, he's just been horrible to me, is saying, he doesn't have value. Well, you can't stop there. And be a logical person, that means that in some way you don't have value either. And if you're willing to say that, then life is very, very despondent. And you know you're wrong because you know you have value and you need love and because you are wired for it. So the whole argument falls apart when you really start to think it through.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you add in the whole factor of why God created forgiveness and grace and how he models that to us and how we are to model it to others, and especially we should be modeling it to our children's father, whether you're married to him or not. We need to be modeling that.
Exactly. And one of the worst things an angry woman like that can do for herself is to live in powerful bitterness, mm-hmm. which is what you do. If you live with, he should be in jail, he's a horrible jerk, living with bitterness corrodes you from the inside out. And the only way to get out of bitterness is to look at that man and in your heart, and you need to say it out loud if you can't, I forgive you for the atrocities you've committed against me and my kids. Now you're starting to live in freedom because you've broken the power he has over you. But you're spilling that poison and the bitterness onto your children because now they live in bitterness for what your husband either did to you or didn't do to you or did to them. So the greatest way you can lead yourself and children into freedom is through forgiveness. And when you are a forgiving person, you don't talk about people as being throwaways, not even a person who did a horrible thing to you. Jesus didn't talk about the people who nailed him to the cross as throwaways. And if he didn't do it and you believe that you are significant and you were made to be a significant person, then you have to conclude you believe in God. Because nothingness cannot create significance. So if you are going to believe that you are a significant person, then he has to be a significant person. And if you want to live in freedom, you have to live forgiveness and teach it to your children. And that's when life starts to get really good. And an angry woman knows she's angry. Mm-hmm. She can say she isn't. You and I have been angry.
Oh, I have. I have a temper. I've admitted it.
And being angry can feel really good because it feels like you're winning and you have power. But year in and year out, you know it doesn't win.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't win. And like you said, it corrodes from the inside out. That bitterness just continues to build. And you're just eaten up on the inside. And that's not a way to go. You know, it just truly is not a way to go.
Yeah, it's so basic, but it's true. And so you just start to, and you know, you can talk to... you can talk to anybody about the significance of a human life, and everybody knows they're significant. Mm-hmm. But when they start to throw away other people, then they come face to face with their own. So,
yes, yeah. We've got to begin to get over this chaos that ultimately we created. We got to start owning up to it.
Exactly. And rather than complaining, you've got to sort of turn everything on its head and say, okay, I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to be forward moving, and I'm going to invest in, and I'm going to change, and I'm going to do this. And that's where real strength and leadership, I think, comes from.
Yes. And you mentioned that in your book, chapter 3, The Leader, Not the Coach. I love that chapter, by the way. I really do. So leading into that, the one who's listening, whether it's the mother or the father, and especially the fathers, what would you tell the dads that are out there? Because the moms can learn from this information.
Exactly.
What would you tell them? They are desiring to be an engaged father.
Yeah.
They want to do more, but they're like, I don't even know if I'm doing it right. How would you tell them to kind of begin? You mentioned some of that in your book, but if we can just kind of give a snippet of it here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say to dad, why do you assume you're not doing things well? They always lead off with that assumption. Well, I'm probably not doing a good job. I said, work from the belief that you're doing things well until told otherwise and proven otherwise. So that's just a side note. The difference between a leader and a coach is really pretty dramatic when you think about it. And we all kind of intuitively know what it is. A coach sits on the sidelines and shouts orders and tells you what to do and how you need to improve and what you need to change and how you run faster and how you live a better life. A leader doesn't have to speak as much. A leader doesn't sit on the sidelines. A leader walks in front and just and carves the path and lives in such a way that he says, follow me. You know, he and a good father in a good home expects from his kids what he expects from himself. For instance, you know, we were very strict about language in our home. Mm-hmm. No name calling, no screaming, no saying shut up even. No, you know, we just felt, you know, learning how to speak to people changes how you think about people and how you treat them. That's where we were. But my husband never swore. You know, and around our kids, he never yelled really. Well, I mean, he'd lose his temper and sometimes he would yell, but he would say he's sorry, or I did. And I'd say, you know what, that's out of family bounds. And I'm so sorry. It's so disrespectful to yell. And that's why we don't allow you to yell. So a leader is one who lives the right way in front of his children. Now, what is the right way? And this is where it really gets so good. And so this is sort of the moment for fathers. It means that you don't have to run your kids around to a gazillion places and help them create a great portfolio. It means that you have to live a good life in front of them and say, come along with me, and I will show you. We all hear about teachable moments, and I think what we tell parents is this. Make sure to tell your kids opportune things at the opportune time. Don't miss those moments. And I would say, just sort of don't worry about that so much, because your kids are learning from you every second of every day. Mm-hmm. And because they're trying to figure out what you think and what you want and what you believe about them. So they're already reading you like a book. So just be a really great book to read. You know, and if you want your kids to be honest people, tell the truth over and over. Let them see you refuse to lie. If you want them to be generous people, bring them with you at the soup kitchen, or have them help you mow the neighbor's lawn who can't. Or, you know, it's the same kind of serve with them. My husband's great about this. His heart is for the poor. And so he works with the poor in our community, and he works abroad. And every year he took whichever kids would want to go on a medical mission trip. And he just took them. He didn't preach to them about stuff. And it was amazing. We have three daughters. It came time for our son to go. And he was kind of, I don't know if I want to go. I got stuff to do. You know, that's kind of for the girls. And my daughter, who was about 20 at the time, pulled him aside. And she said, and I overheard it. It was an amazing conversation. She said, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I know you don't want to go, but you need to see dad work. Mm-hmm. And my heart stopped. I thought, that's what it's all about.
Yes.
I hope I told my husband that. I'm pretty sure I told him that. Yeah, I mean, he needs to hear that. But, you know, but I thought, wow, because they emulate and mimic and internalize what a good dad does, and they become that. Mm-hmm. So whatever they see, they become. Yes. So none of this do as I say, not as I do, never works with a child. Just do the right thing and always, always take the high road. And particularly in a divorce situation, I tell dads this because there's a lot of conflict there. Yes. But if you do that, then your children will follow, because remember, every child is connected to his or her father with a gold thread, and it never, ever, ever leaves.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That is so beautiful. Well, I know you have a heart for dads out there. I can hear it. I have read it. You all will want to pick up her brand new book, Dr. Meg Meeker's book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. It will be one that you will go back to, seriously. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. There is information in here, like I said, is practical advice, but maybe you are a single mom. This would be a great book, too, for you to read, because then you can understand the importance of the father figure and, you know, where the father figure needs to fit in.
Yeah. Well, and also, and you know, as a mother who now is living in great pain because you've been through a divorce or you're single parenting or whatever, mm-hmm. what your child needs from a dad. And this will show you what he wants and needs and what you always wanted and needed. And how you can to help facilitate that for your child. So you can, in a very real way, help your child have what you may not have had. Mm-hmm. It's still hurting you. So help break that cycle and help life be better for your child.
Mm-hmm. Well, you share a beautiful part in your book, Dr. Meeker, about you and your dad. And there was just such a sweet moment about, you know, do you forgive me? Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, I'm telling you, you never get over your dad. I lost my dad 6 years ago, and I was very close with both of my parents, four kids, both my mother and my father. My father was the authoritative, quiet one who loved us like crazy, and my mother was the warm, comfy couch who was always ever-present and an amazing cook. At the end of my dad's life, and my dad had a big influence on me, never pushed me, never told me to go to medical school, whatever. He just said, I believe you can, whatever that is for you. And in the last 5 years of my dad's life, he had very bad dementia to the point where we had to put him in a nursing home because he was becoming self-destructive and harmful to people around. And so I had the privilege of living 15 minutes away from the nursing home, and I would go in and I would just sit with him. And towards the very last days and weeks of his life, he couldn't speak. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he knew anybody or whatever, but I would just sort of walk him around. Before that point came, I would go over. My mother would go one day, I'd go the next day. She'd go one day, I'd go the next way. But before he got to the point where he couldn't talk, I would walk with him and walk with him. And he would just sort of shuffle along. And he knew me and he knew my mother. And we were walking along arm in arm, and he was holding the banister in the wall, and I was on the other side. And he stopped dead in his tracks. And he looked at me. And this is a man who didn't even really know where he was. Mm-hmm. So one could say he was out of his mind. In some ways he was. And he looked at me and he said, am I forgiven? Mm-hmm. And I said, Dad, you mean forgiven for what and by whom? He said, well, does mother forgive me? And I said, oh, Dad, mom forgives you. Because my dad had bad temper. And he knew his demons. And he tried so hard. But he wanted to know, did mom forgive me? He said, and what about you kids? What have you? Oh, Dad, we forgive you. We forgive you. Oh, good. And then he looked at me and said, what about God? Mm-hmm. And I said, and this, again, I wish you could hear his brokenness, because his mind was, he was a brilliant man, but it was God. And he said, does God forgive me? And I said, oh, Dad, if you ask God for forgiveness and you love him, he will forgive you in a second. And I just sort of peace come over him, and we just kept walking along and shuffling along. And that was pivotal for me, because mm-hmm. it made me realize that there was something so deep in my father that went through his dementia, which was the need to be forgiven mm-hmm. by his children and God, who he wasn't necessarily super close with, not, you know, as I was from what I saw, mm-hmm. but it's so primary in our health and our happiness as human beings, that even in his demented state, he needed it. And I was very, very grateful to have been part of that moment with my dad.
That's just a beautiful story, Dr. Meeker. And I can tell your dad is definitely a hero in your life.
He is. Yeah.
He is. Well, as we begin to wrap up, we could talk forever. We're just going to have you back. You know, we'll just have more chats.
Thank you.
So as we come to a close, I know people are going to want to find you and get more information. Obviously, we'll have all the links in the show notes, but where can they connect with you?
Really, it's very easy. MegMeekerMD.com. I have a website. I have a podcast. I have a Facebook page, and I answer questions. So if people write in, of course, I get a lot of questions. I can't answer every one, but I try to answer questions that seem to be themes of parents so that a lot of parents are struggling with it. I'll answer anything, anytime. And no question is too personal, too hard, too whatever, because it's really hard for parents, and there's a lot of mixed messages. And so I love to answer questions. So MegMeekerMD.com is the best place to go.
Fabulous. Well, we will definitely have that information in the show notes, along with how you can pick up your own copy of her brand new book, Hero, Being the Strong Father Your Children Need. Dr. Meeker, it's truly been an honor to have you here. But before I let you go, I have one last question.
Sure.
The title of this series is My Strength is My Story. Ooh. What has your story gifted you?
My story has gifted me freedom. It really has. Because when you're willing to see what's true and you embrace that truth, even though it's very, very hard and it requires you to change, when you change, that gives you more power and it gives you more freedom. And so this is my story. You know, I get where hurt women are coming from. I get where women who are motoring over husbands are coming from. I get how over-controlling and overbearing mothers can feel with their children. But in giving that up and in acknowledging and embracing that for the benefit of my children and for me, releasing some of that and giving more to my husband really brought me more freedom. That's really the power came in my story. So a lot of this book is my story, really, even though it's about men. Kind of crazy, but yeah, it is.
It's great. And if you're a football fanatic, which I so am, you'll love all of the NFL stories. There's a good handful of, I don't know how many, I didn't count them, but they're great stories in here. So pick a copy up for you, share a copy. Dr. Meeker, it has been an honor. I have been just so pleased to have you on as an expert. I'm happy to call you friend and sister in Christ. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all the great work you do, too.
Thank you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.